Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
All right, hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay, see ya. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast. Act 2 on this edition of the show for the 19th of August. Staff meeting went off without a hitch. Everybody's happy. Everybody's in a good mood. And I hope you are too. I want to talk a little bit about the guy who sang the Colts fight song. I guess that might not be an original work. Remember this dude? This is awesome. I love this song. I love the fact that he put it together. You know, there's probably a fairly good chance that this guy might be blessed with the tism. I just got that impression. And I just can't get enough of this guy. Let's enjoy it once again.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts!
So I guess he might have ripped that song off from like a Jesus song that you might, like if you go to some of these churches, they have like a lot of the sing-along stuff playing these more contemporary songs. And I guess that, I think Kenny might have said something, and I know Deb sent along an email that the original is a rock band church song called This is Our Lord, This is Our, I don't know. So I guess this kid might have ripped it off. That's why if it's This is Our Church or This is Our Lord, he's saying This is Our Colts. He didn't know to like change it to These Are Our Colts. So that's exactly what the correspondence. I had the damn email. Now, where the hell is it? Deb writes, I had to laugh when you played the Colts song on Patreon that was written by a fan. You and other listeners commented on the great tune and music. However, I recognize the tune immediately, and I'm sorry to say it is not original. It comes from a worship song called This Is Our God. I put the YouTube link below. The familiar chorus starts at about the 1 minute mark. I know you hate rock band worship songs, but I do actually love many of the more contemporary worship songs, unless they go all heavy metal. And she adds, since I do like this song, please try not to make fun of it. Song was made by Phil Wickham. This is our God. Kuiper says about the guy singing the Colts song, is that Joey? You mean like, hi guys, this is Joey. The wrestling dude. All right, so let's get into Phil Wickham. They always have that, these songs like this always have that, that type of anthemic building and everything's always really, really involved and heavy and dramatic. There's no such thing as subtle in these songs. One machine is making all of that noise. Okay?
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame? They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are up now. Death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose.
Here we go.
Those giants are dead now. This is our cult. This is our team. We love them. Whether we're lost, he's what he does.
Oh, it's perfect. Your audio seems hot, Easy. Oh, I know. It has to be hot to get over that. My God. Oh, yeah, that totally works. Well, anyway, Deb pointed out that guy with the tism that sang it, it's not original. And that's okay, though. I think that the guy who made the original would be pleased to know that he's you know, inspiring somebody. I will say without a doubt, though, that of all of the different styles of music that exists in the world today, I would listen to Kenny's metalcore before I would listen to the style of music that you would hear in Deb's church. I just can't handle it. I can't do it. Kenny says you got that correct, Easy. Well, thank you, buddy. It's true. 10 out of 10 times, if someone said metalcore or Phil Wickham, this is our God, I'm going to go metalcore. Can't do it. I don't know what it is about Christian music, but I think that the people that make the Christian music are blessed with the ability to forgive and love and think and help others, but they're the least gifted of music makers on the planet. They have no musical knowledge or ability. It's the worst thing that has ever happened to music. In fact, you can build an argument that music can be abolished, banned from existence, all music because of the performance of anyone who makes that style of music like Phil Wickham. Rubbish, every bit of it. David in Hudsonville says the three ads that I just watched was better than that. David, I want you to subscribe to this podcast. I want you to link it up with your Amazon Prime. There, you just did it. I see it. You just subscribed with Prime. Because you watched the three ads, you said, oh, shit, I got to subscribe. There you go. I appreciate that. You helped me. You've done it for 18 months now. Despite my nonsense, you're still here after 18 months. That's fucking spectacular. There is nothing wrong with any of you that love Christian music like that, contemporary Christian songs. But I want you to know that if I show up at one of those churches locally that looks like where the LA Lakers play, and they're playing one of those songs, and I look out and you guys have your hands up and you're swaying, singing the stupid song with your eyes closed, I want to throw up. Okay? Poor Deb. I love her more than anything. She's one of my favorite people on the planet. Deb. Deb V. I don't hear from her as often as I would like to, because every time she reaches out, she has something sweet to say. She's just perfect. I don't know why she puts up with me. Here she clearly says how much she loves that type of music. And she says, please don't make fun of it too much. And then there I go, destroying that type of music. The only type of religious music I like are the Catholic hymns. And even those, if they overdo it, I can't handle it. I want one pipe organ. That's what I want. But I can't go to the Catholic Church anymore. Yeah, if you don't know, if you haven't heard about this, we are no longer practicing Catholics. People might say to me, EZ, what denomination are you? I say, I'm a Catholic. They go, oh, okay. I go, yeah, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. I cannot be part of that organization. I have been a hypocrite for too long. Adam says, my issue is during church is when a song has been playing for 10 minutes and they feel, quote, the Spirit leads them to sing the chorus again. Piano Finger Banger says, down here in Tennessee, you can't tell the difference between the churches and Bridgestone Arena. Oh, I know. Bob says, two bands I like are technically Christian rock, Skillet and Under Oath. Well, that's your problem. All right. So that's what's up. Colts Kid, not original work. I want to discuss a little bit about the passing of Jack Russell from Great White. Now, I knew a little bit about Jack Russell from the Station nightclub fire in West Warwick, Rhode Island, back in 2003, 2004. But in case you don't know, the band Great White, they got pretty popular in the late 80s, early 90s. Several hits, including their version of Once Bitten, Twice Shy. And probably about 6 to 10 other songs that were staples of rock radio. Jack Russell also does a phenomenal bang-up job on any Led Zeppelin song. In fact, he had released on Spotify an entire album of him doing Led Zeppelin covers live. Really good. Probably the best rendition of Zeppelin songs was by Jack Russell. He had some issues, personal issues, you know, the usual band breakup, this, that, and the other thing, to a point where he teamed up with the original guitarist of Great White and was touring under the name Jack Russell's Great White while the rest of Great White was touring under Great White. Now, if it's me, I want to see Jack Russell's Great White, because to me, the one thing that's can't be replaced is the voice. So he books a show in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in the time I told you about. That was the night of this issue. It was in February of that year, 03 or 04, I forget. I think 03. At this point, you know, 400 or 500 people is all that's going to go see the band. They get up on stage, a small club, and this is a perfect storm of disaster. Old building, grandfathered in, is not required to have a sprinkler system. Over capacity. The stage was lined with very flammable acoustic foam that when it burns, the byproduct is hydrogen cyanide, which I was reading about three gulps of air with hydrogen cyanide and you're dead. That's how quickly it can kill you. This is the type of the stuff that is known as like egg crate sound deadening. The people who own the club, a couple of dudes that are Armenian, they ordered sound deadening, and they had the stuff that they purchased was whoever they bought it from in Rhode Island sent the wrong stuff. But the guys who own the club shrugged and said, "Oh, guess this is it," and they put it up on the walls. The stuff that they had ordered was fire retardant. They didn't get that. This all came out in the lawsuit. Adding to the problem, when the fire broke out, a bunch of people ran over to one exit and a bouncer was there saying, "Sorry, band only," and wouldn't let anybody out, and they all had to go bottleneck out the front of the fucking building. There was three pyrotechnic things called gerbs that would shoot out sparks when the band hit the stage. Well, within seconds, the gerbs caught the acoustic foam on fire. Jack Russell is probably 15 seconds into the song. He's barely said any of the lyrics. Band stops playing. There's a fire behind them. And then Russell goes, "That's not good." That was the last thing he said. He said it out of the microphone. You can hear it. There's a full video of this. Oddly enough, a guy from the local TV station was there shooting video from the crowd, and he was doing a feature story about crowds and fire prevention in a venue. And lo and behold, a fucking fire breaks out. So this is all on video. It's a horrible video. Within about 2 minutes, everybody's burning to death. There were 450 people in that club, 100 dead, and about 250 badly injured. Because everybody goes out one exit. Well, the guy with the video camera gets out. He's shooting video of people. Like, imagine if too many people try to get through a doorway at exactly the same time, they'd all get like bunched up and stuck. That actually happened. I'll link the video up. You can watch it on your own, but I'm not going to show it here. They're all stacked up like cordwood, and people are trying to pull them out, but they're so wedged, this pile of people, they can't get out. So everybody died. I remember I was on the radio in Trenton, New Jersey with Freebird and Hot Wings reporting on it. And every half hour we would give an update on the death toll number is rising. So the fire has to burn itself out And it burns all the way to the ground, everybody inside. And the firemen go in that area that I was telling you about where they were stacked up 5-6 feet high. By the way, the band got out, but there was one guitar player who went back in to get his. In fact, the lead guitarist, they didn't think it was that bad. They walked out of the off the stage, and one guy called his wife and said, "Yeah, I'm going to be home a little late. There's a fire they got to put out." Meanwhile, it's, you know, fully engulfed in flames. Another guitar player and a guy by the name of Mike Gonsalves, who was on the radio in Rhode Island. He went by the radio nickname of The Doctor. The guitar player went in to grab his guitar, and Gonsalves went in to grab his, like, broadcast equipment, and they breathed one gulp of that hydrogen cyanide, immediately passed out. They died. About 90 minutes after the blaze starts, it's out. The firemen go walking in to the area where they're trying to get in, where all those people are stacked up, and they're removing bodies one by one. And a fireman walks in, literally walking on top of a body. And while he's doing that, a hand grabs his ankle and he looks down and there's a face, and it's a guy by the name of Mike Vargas. He is not injured. He walked out of there. This son of a bitch was walking out of the show with everybody else, and the stampede started, and he fell down and landed on the ground, and then eventually all of those people were on top of him. And they, all those people, insulated him. He described it as he didn't feel any heat. There was a couple embers that landed on his leg that gave him just a minor burn. But he was completely unharmed because of the pile of burning dudes and chicks on him. He said that while he was there, he couldn't move. And he described it as he could hear everybody screaming, and then slowly but surely everybody got quiet, motherfucker. And he could feel cool air because it was right near the fucking door. And then he could feel water pouring on him as they put the fire out. So then finally, he is able to reach up, and they pull him out of there. He walked to his car. But then they said, "Hold on, we got to take you to the hospital. Get on the gurney." They took him into the hospital. Mike Vargas, still alive today. I'll link it up. There was an interview on Dateline with Stone Phillips 1 week after this happened. They interviewed this guy, Mike Vargas, and his story and how this all happened. It was a fucking crazy-ass scene. The absolute worst. So Jack Russell gets out. He, with all these people dead, a lot of people hated Jack Russell, because he never really, like, said sorry. And his opinion was, he goes, "I didn't do this. I made the songs." Okay? The road manager, 29-year-old guy, I forget his name, doesn't matter. He's the one who lit the gerbs. The gerbs were, he was given approval by the club owner. Yeah, you can light those off. So, I mean, mistake, sure, but I don't know if Russell deserved to, I don't know. I think maybe the optics of it, if he had said something, he might, but a lot of people hated him. In fact, he didn't go back to New England for years. Then there was the lawsuits. First of all, the guy who lit the pyrotechnics, his lawyer said, you're going to say not guilty. Well, he didn't. He actually pled guilty. And he said he just wanted it all get put behind him. He was charged with 200 counts of manslaughter. And he went to prison, but he only did like a couple of years, and then that was it. He was extremely upset that it even happened. He has a family now in Florida. The guys who own the club, they got a couple of years each. And then the lawsuits. The guy who was shooting the video from the TV station had to pay $20 million because they said that because he was shooting video of them dying, he could have put the camera down and helped and they said that he was in the way. So they were being sued. TV station had to pay out $20 million. The radio station is Clear Channel, now known as iHeart. They had to pay out $20 million, which I don't know about this, because leading up to the show, they were saying, hey, come to the station. Go see Jack Russell's Great White. They had to pay out. So the lawsuits were through the roof on this thing. And now in the spot where the club is, there is a memorial that opened up a handful of years there. The club obviously gone. What a scene. That was what happened to Jack Russell. Nothing was easy for that guy from the end of that show. He was only in his 40s then. He died at 63 on Friday. He went ahead and tried to do a everything he did, the people who in Rhode Island, New England, said that it was just a publicity stunt. He did one fundraiser, which raised $180,000 or something like that, and he gave the money to them. And then they said, we don't want it. And then he did another fundraiser, and this is where it got ridiculous. He did a fundraiser for the victims of the Station nightclub fire, and I swear to God, I remember reporting this when I was on Free Beer and Hot Wings. It made $180. If you do a fundraiser for 100 people burnt to death and all you can raise is $180 because nobody knows who the fuck you are or cares who you are at this point, I think you kind of have to get out of the biz, right? God damn. Jeremy says, I lived in Connecticut when the Station nightclub fire happened. It kind of sucks that that's the legacy of the band because they actually were a halfway decent band. I like Great White. I still listen to Great White. I played Great White on the air Friday on Q100 for Jack Russell. And I played some today, too. I love Great White. They're fucking cool. What a wild-ass story, though. I think the big fucking moment was the severity and how quick that fire spread. If you have never seen that and you are not of the faint of heart, okay, you must see that video. If you have the morbid curiosity like I do, oh my God. If I want to fall asleep, I'm going to watch the video of Station nightclub fire. I know that sounds crazy. I know it. But I'm admitting it to you. I have this strange, morbid curiosity with those things. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. I might start the night watching some 9/11 jumpers. Maybe a couple boats capsizing. You know, Station nightclub. Any plane crashes. Yeah. Jeremy says, imagine going to the families of those victims and saying, here's your $165 from our fundraiser. Oh, no. Oh, two members of your family died. Here's $3. God damn it. Piano Finger Banger says, hey, thanks. Now I can go buy a gas station Pop-Tart. I feel so much better. Son of a bitch. The world is weird. Hey, it's Eric Zane here to tell you about my new favorite marketing partner, Mint Mobile. For the longest time, we've been paying way too much for our cell phone service, our plans, whatever it is, mobile device, whatever you want to call it. Every so often, they like put the screws to you just a little bit at a time. You don't even notice. Next thing you know, you check out the bill. You're like, wait a minute. This is not what I decided to pay for. What has happened? Okay, forget all of that. You can skip it all right now. Everything is about to change for you. Mint Mobile is the key. With Mint Mobile, you'll never, never have to worry about gotchas ever again. That's what I'm talking about, where they slowly raise your prices that you pay. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All the plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You're like, easy, tell me more. This is all you do. I did this. All my family has done this. And you should too. To get the new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. That's good anywhere. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill from whatever ridiculous amount that you're paying each month to $15 a month. mintmobile.com/Zane. Pay attention to this legalese. $45 upfront payment. That is equivalent to the $15 a month for 3 months. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower, 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Don't even worry about that. I use that and it's no big deal. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. I don't know why, when that all went down, why would you, in an old building like the station, why would you make it so that they are grandfathered in to have less safety requirements? That doesn't make any sense. An old building made of old wood with a lower flash point. Yeah, because there were no fire extinguishers in the building, not one, and no sprinkler setup. Also, the alarm that they had there in that building did not go directly to the fire department. They had to, like, call and say, hey, send the fire brigade. Goddamn. Truly a horrible, horrible thing. And, you know, one more thing. Jack Russell himself was walking around the West Warwick downtown area because there weren't enough people there for, like, there to be a lot of, you know, a good showing. And he was giving away free tickets, like, beforehand, the day of the show, saying, hey, come to our show. I'm Jack Russell. Can you imagine being the guy who's in front row? He's like, yeah, man, it sounds good. Oh, no, fucking shit. Jeremy says, quote, or I can buy a gallon of gas. Don't worry, Jack Russell. You taught me my lesson. Don't light myself on fire with it. God. Why would you light off pyrotechnics in a small club like that? You have to recognize acoustic foam. I mean, even if this incident had never happened, and I had open flame next to acoustic foam, common sense would tell me that that's not going to end well. What an absolute catastrophe. God damn. There was even one guy, a couple guys lived who literally were burnt to a crisp. There's one dude who both his hands burnt off. His one eye burned out, no hair, rebuilt face, lips, no ears. And he was being interviewed. He lived. And he got a hand transplant, so that he had that going for him. But this dude had the best attitude because he's one of these, well, I can't do anything about it. I might as well keep on living. Get to, what is that Red said from Shawshank? Get to living, get to dying, whatever the fuck. The guy got to living. He ended up getting married. And what do you call it? Had kids. Piano Finger Banger says, so he became RoboCop. Anyway, rest in peace, Jack Russell. All right. Yeah, I spent a lot of my time this weekend going over details, if you couldn't tell, about the West Warwick nightclub fire. It's fucking insane. Okay. I mentioned this earlier, and I wanted to get to it. Near where I live, Silver Lake Sand Dunes is a hot spot for people in motorcycles, side-by-sides, four-wheel drives. You get on there, and you just drive like fucking hell. And this fucker was riding his motorcycle. He's got his camera on the motorcycle. So we're able to see this from his angle. And we're also able to see it from a drone shot, which is all great. No one died, but guy on motorcycle is going up one side of the dune, and guy in the four-wheel drive Jeep is going up the other side of the dune, and the fuckface at the top, who's supposed to let you know if there's a car coming, is asleep at the wheel, and he's not paying attention, and he's supposed to wave to the motorcycle guy, hey, dude, is a car coming? You can't do it. So guy on motorcycle gets into the gas. He gets to the top. It's airborne. And he puts the motorcycle into the windshield of the Jeep. At this point, the guy on the motorcycle is flung like he's shot out of a trebuchet. And you're able to see his body go flying. This is incredible. The guy on the motorcycle, his back's broke, but he's not paralyzed or anything like that. He's okay. So we're going to watch this right now. And check all this shit out. This is fantastic.
Clock Saturday afternoon at Silver Lake Sand Dunes. A 21-year-old Rockford area dirt biker was testing his 360 camera 1 minute.
Here comes.
And cartwheeling through the air the next.
Okay. Now hold. Didn't I tell you? My God. God, what the fuck? All right, let's start over, and then they do it in slow-mo.
Saturday afternoon at Silver Lake Sand Dunes. A 21-year-old Rockford area dirt biker was testing his 360 camera 1 minute and cartwheeling through the air the next.
He appears to be thrown similar to a rag doll being thrown across the sand.
Oceana County Sheriff.
Way to break it down, Sheriff.
Sheriff Craig Mast sent the video to Target 8.
I shared that with you for a reason. You know, I want.
Because it's fucking awesome.
People to be aware. And you just can't use enough caution up there when there's that many vehicles and the potential for.
Now, you would never catch me dead at a place like this. All right. That ain't my bag. I you know, seriously, I want to pick up sticks, sit by the fire, do my thing. I don't want to fucking do this shit.
Speed always is there.
Mast said while there's no speed limit on the dunes and no directional rules in that spot.
Okay, now this is where hill jacks who are either extremely in debt, probably not paying child support and spending their money on shit you can get at Impact Power Sports, or rich fuckers who are spending their money on shit you can get at Impact Power Sports. That's all it is. And everybody there loves Trump, so you just go there. Vote for Trump and or die. That's all you do.
The dirt bike was going too fast, catching air as it crested the hill northbound, slamming into the windshield of a Jeep Cherokee about to crest the dune's backside.
Oh, no.
He cheated death right there.
What?
You know, if he were a cat, you'd say he's down one life for sure.
Both drivers were injured.
Look at this photo of that truck. It's got the motorcycle in it. Holy shit. The driver is okay.
Home and expected to make full recoveries.
The dirt biker, who's from the Rockford area, told me he was alone testing out his camera when he spotted a group at that hill using a spotter. So he decided to join in. He said he jumped that hill 6 times successfully before the accident. He suffered a fractured spine, punctured lung, and a concussion, but he has no permanent injuries.
Yes.
He's extremely fortunate to have
the style points there. I mean, when he hit, if you notice, he's spinning around. He looks like in that movie that we on Patreon we reviewed with Jimmy called Blood Moon. When the one character, the vampire, falls off the cliff and it's just a dummy. That's what this looks like.
He's extremely
Look at that. My God, if I'm this guy, when I heal up, I take stills from this video. I put them on T-shirts. I sell that shit. I'm autographing pictures, getting pussy. It's going to be awesome.
Fortunate to have the limited injuries he had.
In late May, a driver lost control while drag racing and slammed into a vehicle, killing a spectator, 33-year-old Katie Price.
Oh, that was very sad. I remember she, like, pushed her child out of the way. The child was about to get hit, and she took the brunt and saved the child's life. It was incredible.
Pearson. The DNR, which operates the park, told Target 8 it's still discussing implementation of additional safety procedures at the dunes, but could not provide details Friday.
See, that's silly. You know, people die there. This is we had the her dying and then this horrible thing happening. And they're like debating whether or not they should add some rules. Just close it fucking down.
Mast said speed limits and capacity cutoffs are options, but he stopped short of endorsing them.
I'm so glad that they keep showing that video over and over again. Stop short of endorsing
capacity cutoffs are options, but he stopped short of endorsing them.
My lane is safety and security out there. I want to see the tourists and the people and the residents come enjoy themselves and have a good time, but do so that they go home safely.
The DNR told me the person who has details on those additional safety measures was not available, but will talk to me about them next week. Meanwhile, the dirt biker told me he will make sure to have his own spotter in the future. He said he grew up in the dunes, knows you have to have your head on a swivel at all times, said he usually does a good job scouting and checking. I'm Target 8 investigator Susan Samples.
You know, it's a damn good thing that that he caught air. You know, because had he just been like racing up the hill and then hit the front end of that thing, he just would have been smashed into oblivion. He would have been dead. Quote from Jeremy writes, quote, I'm the safety guy, but I don't endorse any of these safety ideas. There is another video of the same video that we saw. It's from a drone.
Up tonight, we have a new development and a Target 8 investigation. Target 8 brought you this video yesterday showing a dirt biker hurling through the air after colliding with an SUV at the Silver Lake Sand Dunes earlier this week. New tonight, we're flipping the perspective and hearing from the man behind the wheel of that SUV. News 8's Adriana Doria spoke to the driver about his terrifying day.
A terrifying accident, all caught on camera.
I was just in shock.
It was Gavin Plume's first time at the Silver Lake Sand Dunes. He got into his car when it all took a turn.
I was driving slow, and I started to go up the hill, and I got about three quarters of the way up, and I didn't even realize it. All of a sudden, I just, you know, I had a dirt bike in my windshield.
Gavin happened.
Okay, this is the shot from the drone. What we already saw, you're seeing it from the drone.
To be flying his drone to capture the scenic views when the crash happened. He sent this video to News 8 that shows an aerial view of the accident. He was driving his SUV just before 5 p.m. on Saturday, August 10th, when all of a sudden a dirt bike rammed into his car.
I think
God. So I guess there's drones you have that will follow you, and that's his drone, which is just so cool to think about. So his drone is following him up the hill in a nice shot. Like he said, he's going slow. That's a nice vehicle. He probably doesn't want to fuck it up, you know? I wouldn't take it out there in the first place. But anyway, you see that guy hit it, and then keep an eye on also all these guys that are standing around not spotting.
SUV just before 5 p.m. on Saturday, August 10th. When all of a sudden, a dirt bike rammed into his car.
Wow.
I think my visor came.
Look at all those guys. There's 20 guys there. And not one of them is spotting for him.
Down, hit me in my right eye. Right above it, I mean. And I was seeing double. And then,
yeah, this guy, if that would have hit him squarely in the head, he'd be dead.
And I had blurred vision in my right eye.
The bike stopping at the windshield, but the driver of the dirt bike.
To me, this is a lawsuit against the state of Michigan. If it's the Wild West out there, And it's that easy. They already had one person die earlier in the year. And if you have this type of unregulated type of traffic with, hey, just everybody drive like fucking hell, of course this is going to happen. In my opinion, anybody injured or loss of life or anything like that should be sued. Fuck this shit.
Seen cartwheeling through the air.
Make sure you're watching every way you possibly can, and God, that, you know, you're watching your surroundings and making sure that everything's safe around you, and that you know, you can try to avoid an accident or anything like that happen.
God, this guy must be related to producer Steve. He's almost as boring as Steve is.
Happening.
After the crash, people are seen swarming the car to help Gavin and the biker.
I hope they can make it safer for people to enjoy and have fun. And it prevents accidents like that happening or possible deaths.
Thankful both him and the biker are okay, Gavin is hoping this accident can be a reminder for everyone to be cautious when driving or even riding on the dunes.
I've seen that probably 50 times now, and
I'm
still can't believe it.
Surprised to be alive, to be honest.
I like how it takes forever for these guys to react to that.
Honest. After seeing my vehicle with the motorcycle taken off it, and I mean,
this guy's shooken up. Shaken up? Shook up. This guy shook up.
The whole roof's caved in, and I honestly don't know how I'm here today. I can't wrap my head around it, to be honest, other than someone was looking out for both of us that day and looked after us.
Okay.
Adriana Doria, News 8.
Yeah, Silver Lake. Fuck that shit. Death Lake. Chris says he sounds like Kevin in Muskegon. Remember that retard?
Hey, Eric. It's time for Eric's Show podcast. Yeah, he gets. He's got kind of a foul mouth, but that's okay. It's time for the Eric's Show. It's time for Eric's Show podcast clip of the day.
Is his page still a thing? Oh, my God. He was one of those people that I never said or did anything to. I always appreciated him. And then all that had to happen was that usual bunch of former Zaniacs sunk their claws into his retarded fucking face. And that was it. He said,
I'm not going to do a clip of the day anymore.
Chris says, no, you got to him during COVID. Oh, okay. Yeah, somebody, like when I was talking about, like, yeah, I hope they kick in the door and give us all the shot. He was like, oh,
we can't do that. I hate you now.
Fucking idiot. Adam says, ways to make the sand dunes safer. Don't go on the sand dunes. Piano Fingerbanger says, this guy made Steve sound like Kevin Hart. Also, Piano Fingerbanger says, how the fuck isn't that a one-way? You see, where I live, not only is the election going to be won and lost here where I live, it is also the home of the stupidest people that have ever walked the face of the earth. You know about the main hard living line. There's also several other hard living lines in and around where I live. Okay? And if you're on the wrong side of the hard living line, you're stupid. Bob says asshole of the day today is the guy in the Jeep. No way. No way. He was riding up slowly. It's either motorcycle guy or the spotters. The 20 fucking idiots who didn't spot for the dude. Those fucking morons are the assholes of the day. David in Hudsonville says that Sand Lake, where this is definitely on the wrong side of the line. Exactly. Every one of those people there with those four-wheelers and those side-by-sides, they had the option of paying child support or getting one of those. And they got one of those. If the state of Michigan was cracking down on deadbeat dads, you got to start there at the sand dunes. Don't even ask. Just round them all up. Odds are 97% of those are deadbeat dads. I'm not even making that up. All right, I got a lot of work to get to before I wrap this show up. And not enough time to do it. First of all, Berlin Raceway. It was a washout last week. They're at it again this week. BerlinRaceway.com. Tickets are $14. 15 and under free. Parking free. Go to the races at Berlin. King's Room Barbershop. Three locations. Northland Drive, Caledonia, and Wyoming at 821 36th Street. Haircut fit for a king for more than 50 years. A haircut is going to set you back $19 plus tip. They have all the fantastic hair care products for dudes or chicks who like short hair. That's all at King's Room Barbershop, online at kingsroom.net. King's Room responsible for the amazing easy hair. My hair is brought to you by King's Room Barbershop. David in Hudsonville refers to the people in Sand Lake as dirt people, without a doubt. All right. Thank you to Frank Fuss when it comes to planning for Social Security, Medicare, for someone you know or love. Reach out to Frank Fuss. Head over to buyinsurancehere.com. That's buyinsurancehere.com. Frank can help you out with anything related to Social Security or Medicare. It doesn't happen on its own. You have to plan for that. Frank will do it for you, and you will not pay a dime. No matter where you are in the U.S., reach out to Frank today at buyinsurancehere.com. God bless Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV, 616-532-6600, ervines.com. That's ervines.com. They work on all cars, hybrids, EVs, you name it. If you're thinking about buying a car, take it over to Irvine's. Give it the old test drive. See if they give you their approval on it. They'll do that for you as well. 616-532-6600. I got an HVAC A&E, an HVAC specialist, A&E Heating and Cooling. The immortal Joe Martinez at 616-516-8579. With these cool mornings, it's time to start thinking about getting that furnace tuned up. It won't be long. 616-516-8579 for A&E Heating and Cooling. The feds are going to lower the interest rate sometime soon, the next couple of weeks. That means interest rates are dropping, so get after it. Buy now, refinance later. In a couple of years, we'll be way down. 231-332-6505. Buy your dream home now and refinance it later. 231-332-6505. From no matter where you are in the U.S., the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage can help you out with everything you need to get your home in order. Get your pre-approved mortgage today. And finally, Rick from TC Paintball invites you to check him out online, tcpaintballgr.com. So much fun to book an event at TC Paintball, whether it's your workplace team building, bro friends, bachelor party, neighborhood kids, back to school party, TC Paintball, online at tcpaintballgr.com. Piano Finger Banger says you should bring back the cash register cha-ching sound effect that you used to play on FBHW when reading ads. I don't remember that. I'll have to take your word for it. Nevertheless, it is time for the asshole of the day. My last asshole of the day was car dealer boss number one. At the place where I bought Madison's car, which I'm picking up today. Bellatrix underscore SO is here. Late. A late arriving appearance says, hey ya. I think you've been here before. I remember the name Bellatrix because that's a Harry Potter reference. But it's been forever since I've seen that name on here. Are you local? Kenny says, asshole of the day should be RV related. Yeah, I agree. But who? Should it be RV dealership? Should it be RV number one? Should it be RV mechanic? RV manufacturer? I mean, at the end of the day, this pile of shit was sold to me, and it's been nothing but problems from the jump. So I don't know if I want to throw dealer under the bus. I'm going to go with who made the RV. And honestly, the only reason why I'm not revealing the name of the RV and throwing them under the bus is because I so much like the guy who sold it to me. I've known this guy for a decade. He's been nothing but sweet to me. But he is selling a worthless pile of shit product that I will never, ever buy again. And this is only compounded by the fact that the dealership does not seem to have the wherewithal and ability to repair the RV. Bellatrix writes, by the way, if you don't mind, can I say something? Well, of course. You don't have to ask that. Just say whatever you want. You're probably going to tell me to go fuck myself or something like that. Here it comes, the insult. Kenny writes, uh-oh. David says, yeah, easy, but they have their quote-unquote top guys on it, LOL. I have my fingers crossed that they've watched this. Kenny writes, people that ask, by the way, if you don't mind, can I say something? Ask the same or similar things on Twitch. Kenny says they design emojis. See, Eric? Yeah, no, you can't say that. No, we're not interested. We're here to just make fun of people. No, I'm sorry. You can't do that. I thought you were here to enjoy the show. Now I got to kick you out. Which takes me a second to do. So unfortunately, because of that, I'm sorry. Because I told you could say it. I don't think you're here to enjoy the show in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, you can't do that. Thank you, Kenny. See, I'm too much of a novice at this to understand what is going on. But now I do. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for being here, folks. I'll talk to you down the road. Bye-bye.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.